Hey everyone, hey, welcome into the Art Wonk Podcast. I'm Neville, your host, and I thought today's podcast we would focus on how to check out an online proposition, an opportunity, say, especially when it comes to something like an online gallery. So let's just talk about how we got to this point first. I was surfing through my social media platforms, as you do, swiping up and down and left and right and all those types of things, just looking at what was going on in my art world, when I noticed that there was an advert that I assume had popped up on my feed because a number of the people I follow had liked it. And it was an advertisement for an online gallery. And it caught my attention because, I don't know, the ad wasn't that crisp. And it's a visual platform, and I'm super critical. I mean, I accept that. I've been doing this long enough. I'm probably also a little bit jaded and inclined to be, you know, harsh in my judgments. But in fairness, I decided to have a bit of a closer look and see what were they offering these days? What does an online gallery look like? And you know, I guess at some level there's some self-interest. Is it a competition for my gallery, my physical bricks and mortar place? And also wanted to see what benefits it actually truly offers, because I'm a maker and it might be another way for me to introduce my work to the market outside of my normal sphere of influence. So I went exploring, and I, to be honest with you, I was rather underwhelmed by this particular option. And the whole idea of how you explore kind of became a bit of a focus as I started sleuthing around, digging deeper, just trying to work these guys out. So I thought it might be well worth our while to talk about how do you check something out online? What types of things do I look for? And I'd really be interested in hearing if you want to add to my list, if any of you want to email me on theartwonk@gmail.com, just letting me know what you look for. But we'll start now with me. So what do I look for when I come across a website and I'm trying to check out its veracity, whether it really does live up to what it's offering or promising? What types of things do I consider red flags? And what types of things are just outright non-negotiable, don't go theres? So how do you check out a website? I mean, there's a few things that I've found pretty reliable that I use. Okay, full disclosure, this is not my day job, this is not what I do. But it's how I've protected myself over the years and kept away from things that I thought were dodgy. First thing that I do is look at the device that I'm on and ask myself, is this actually their primary focus? So I was originally looking at this on my phone, and I went and got my tablet as well because I thought I'd look at it on two different forms just to see whether the glitches or anything that I'm striking are specific to the media that I'm using. And, you know, ultimately you're looking at it, if it's a sales opportunity and they're offering you a chance to put your art in front of people, it's a visual media. Visual platforms like that should have good graphics, good loading speed, all that type of thing. So on my phone, the first thing that happened on the website that I was looking at was everything glitched. I mean, there were bits popping up, totally randomly loading videos in the middle of my trying to read their welcome page. And that did not impress me, but I checked on my little tablet, and sure enough, I was getting the same there. So it wasn't just a phone formatting problem, it was actually the way the site was set up. So already I've got some questions about what their visual skills are, who they think they're talking to, because I think they should be talking to my customers, not to me. And interrupting my reading about how to use the site and what it was there for with random one-second videos that just... oh, it was weird. So, number one, first impressions. Start there. How does this thing look? Is it talking to the people you want to talk to? Should be a filter that you're putting it through. Then, number two, my very next move is I scroll straight to the very bottom of the screen that's offered to me, and I look for the copyright date. I'm looking for who's copyrighted it and what date it is and what links they have down there. Now, the reason for that is that will give me a sense of who's behind this, and also, is it an old site and is it even active? might have shown up in front of me, but if they haven't done anything for a couple of years on it, and the copyright is not updated, and the links when I click on them don't work, then again, I know that this is a waste of my time. I stop then. The site I was looking at the other day actually had a 2023 copyright, so I thought, well, if this is a business and it's an online business and you're not up to date, because we're in 24 now and we're far enough in that it should be updated, that's another red mark against them. So I've already got glitches and I've got a red mark. Now, ordinarily, I would have stopped there, but because I had friends following this one and potentially considering using it, I thought I'd explore further. And I'm nosy. I really am. I wanted to see what these guys were about. So how do you go further? What's next? Clicking on the links to see where they take you, I only bother going looking at the social media ones, and I normally go straight to Instagram and Facebook if they're there, and see whether or not they're active pages or whether they were set up at the same time the website was set up. So are they just basically somebody was setting up an online business and they thought, we need these things? Or do they have other things going on? And that will make sense when I get further down the list. But I always pop over, just check the links are live and that they are taking me to where they say they are. Now, then I go back to the website. Don't spend too much time on those, but I have a quick glance at what they're presenting. Jump back into the website and I go to the Contact Us page next. This is a platform that's offering stuff for sale, and I want to see how accessible they are if there's a problem for me as a seller or for a client who might be buying something from them. And the things that I go there for, I'm looking for a physical address. Like, have they got bricks and mortar? What ways can I contact them? And I'm also looking for a name, who to contact. If it's like so many online businesses where it's very anonymous, there's no person that's presented, so there's no name to address my correspondence to, there's just an email that's info@ and then whatever, or admin@ whatever, I'm a little bit inclined to dig deeper, because without somebody to talk to, anytime there's a problem, there's really a problem. Because that vagueness of contact is often a sign that people don't want to follow up. And I want them to follow up if a customer of mine wants to buy more, for instance. So we're going to look for an address. We want to know, where is this hosted? What country? Is it local? Is it from far away? Do they have the same laws, legal requirements, and other things that I have to trade under? So that name, a phone, all that stuff, I basically put the good old-fashioned who, what, why, when, where type questions against. And then while I'm at that, I jump over to the About Us and see that those things, if there is any information, match who they are. Most websites who are trying to tell you that they're a great gallery site or whatever will have an About Us page. Gives you a bit of background. If they don't, I don't want to deal with them. They're completely anonymous. And we're talking about financial transactions on behalf of me. So I won't trust anyone that I can't at least track down. So on the About Us page, I want to know what their motivation is. Back in 1995, I struggled to get representation because I live in a small, out-of-the-way place. So I started formatting this idea for an online website. Well, that makes good sense. I'm not going to question that. And in that time, I've done this, this, and this, and this is the result. Welcome to our website. Yeah, but I've got a personal story. I've got something that I can actually follow. And again, I'm looking for names, because the lovely thing about a name is you can Google search up a name, and you can use other types of searches with names to check whether they, one, exist, and also whether or not they have any kind of issues in the public arena you need to know about. Like, have they been found? Have they been bankrupted? Have they been found criminally liable for things? Do they have a raft of people, writing really bad reviews about them out there? So we're looking at who, what, why, when, where, just to try and flesh it all out. So hopefully in amongst that, we've now found enough background information, because I won't trust reviews that they post. I can write a review for myself under a fake name and put it on a website. You'd never know. In fact, when they lead with lots of five-star reviews, I'm instantly dodgily sort of nervous about that. It's like, it feels like a sales platform, and I know that the job is to sell, but what are they selling? People talking about how great the art they bought is wonderful. People talking about how great their website is, it's not so great, because the only people who really should be judging that with any enthusiasm will likely be the artists. Right, so anyway, we jump in. We've now got some details. I will then, before I'll even make a contact with them, go and look at a couple more things. I look for their terms and conditions, their privacy policy, all those types of things. There will, for any reputable selling site, be a terms and conditions. What's expected of you if you want to sell through us, or if you're buying from us, what we offer. Definitely read that. And then I Google search the business name, the website name, the business name, if there is one, and any individuals. I know that sounds like a fair bit of work, but I'm putting my livelihood in there, and a lot more sometimes. So it's well worth it. We're still talking only 10 minutes of work. But by going and Googling up who they are, now in New Zealand, we have a government department where you can also check whether businesses are registered. So I go and see if they are a registered business, and if they are, who the directors are, and where they're registered, because that's also important to me. If the directors, again, give me a name, which they will, I can, from that point, just quickly check them out and see, you know, what they're doing, what I'm up against. And then I go looking for reasons not to trust them. I've got all this information, so I'm looking for ticks or crosses. It could be they're really great people who have a really passionate idea, who are just really inexperienced, which I feel was likely what was behind the website that I started my search on earlier in the story. They're not bad people, they're just not good at business, and they're not good at websites. And as such, I wouldn't deal with them, and I'd suggest to any friends who asked me about them, nah, keep away. They're still learning, let them learn on somebody else, but don't let them learn on you. Sometimes, though, good people still have just not the best intentions there. And there were a couple of things I came across when I started searching out this particular website that really started to make me worry. And those things were in their legal ease area. And what's a legal ease area? It's, you know, where the contract part goes over, obligations, etc. These guys had too much there. It's like they'd cut and pasted from a lot of different places. And I've read a lot of contracts over the years. I've signed way too many legal documents and things with leases and just in past life business experience. And straight away I could see this was not written by anyone legal. They actually had a registered business. And yet when their very first line of their terms and conditions, they describe themselves as the business name or the website name. So blahblahblah.com limited. That's not the name of their legal business. The name of their legal business was blah 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 limited. So they didn't understand what they were doing when they put this together. And as such, you know, it just started to make me think, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to present themselves as really very official? Or are they trying to hide something in amongst an awful lot of noise? And there were great long explanations about copyright and about the rights of the artist to retain all access to their stuff. And there was a lot in there that was not necessary, and most definitely wasn't necessary for the person who was signing up to purchase to see. And that made me feel uncomfortable. It's like there's something here. So I started reading it all. And I want to share with you what I found, because it is really important that you do read this stuff. It's dry as all hell sometimes, and you think, oh, I've got no interest in this. I didn't become an artist to do what lawyers do. But it is well worth your while, because I came across this paragraph that I want to read you. So just to give you some context, this was under the heading of 2.3.2 marketing, So it looks very official as they go down their page. And it starts with a very fair statement. The artist certifies that he, she holds ownership, copyright, and right of publicity, industrial property rights, or any necessary rights required to sell, print, reproduce, and post the content he slash she has uploaded to website name. Now, you know, that is wordy, but what they're really asking is it your rightful position to be able to be selling this stuff? You're not just copying it off the internet and trying to sell it as yours. And I think that that's fair of them. And at that glance, I would normally skim the rest of a paragraph because it seems to make sense. But because I was bored and I was nosy, I kept reading. Where the next sentence or paragraph says, artists give website name a license or right to use their content so website name can supply and maintain the platform, including for the purpose of making improvements to the platform and for other internal business purposes. It started to make me a little more curious. What are these internal business purposes? They've been really specific about stuff up until now. They've listed lots more than they needed. So I read further. Under this license, artists grant, website name, a non-exclusive, perpetual, transferable, unrestricted, royalty-free, irrevocable, and worldwide license to, website name, to use, store, display, reproduce, modify, distribute, create derivative works, and to save artist content in any manner and on any media or platform. Holy hell. Now that's when it starts to get really interesting. What are they asking here? They're saying that they don't want exclusivity, so they're not trying to trap you there, but perpetual, transferable and unrestricted, royalty-free, irrevocable, so you can't take this right back, and a worldwide license for them to use, store, display, reproduce, that one worried me, modify, worries me even more, distribute, create derivative works. Think NFTs, t-shirts or other things that use your work that derive from your original artwork, and save your content any way, any place they want, in any fashion they want. So again, on t-shirts or on posters, that's a way of saving a document that's a visual data. So at this point, you know, I'm thinking, where the hell have they pulled this from and what do they want all these rights? Now think about it. You're an emerging artist or a mid-range artist. You're working your way along in your career. You have not hit that magic mark where suddenly you're earning megabucks and you're a household name. You're not the Banksy yet that you want to be. When you suddenly do achieve that, these people have got uncontrolled, unstoppable, royalty-free rights to anything that you produce and put on their website for them. I mean, who gives anyone a lifetime guaranteed usage of something for nothing? There's no fee here. They're not paying you anything. It's royalty-free. This is worrying. Now, that alone would make me actually pull away from this one and just slam the door closed on it. But because I'd done the research and I had some names behind this website, I went off and I actually found out that the directors of this website also have a art printing business. That's interesting. So they're entitled to reproduce, what's their words? Create derivative works and reproduce and modify and distribute. So more or less, you're giving them right to use your work in their other business. That's odd. That's definitely not normal, and it's most definitely not done for free. Licensing is actually a big business. There are people that's what they do. They make stuff and then they license others to use it, and that's literally their business model, and these guys are wanting it all for free. They then go and say that this license continues even if an artist stops using website name's platform or deletes the content from an artist's account. the artist confirms that they have the right to grant this license to the website. My lord, that's a lifetime contract. And even though it's not all written in great legalese, it's a contract. And you would be bound if you signed up with these people, because it shows that they made it clear what their intent was and what they wished, and you agreed to it. And all you have to do to agree to do this is try and sell your work on their website. This is why it's really important. So these guys have a printing business. They are registered in our country, so they are legally tied to our laws. And all through their contract, they talk about law and legal requirements and subject to the appropriate authorities, etc. But it's all vague, so that it could equally work in other jurisdictions. And I think, you know, that alone, if that's something that others are copying and using, then you can have a proliferation of this idea that runs in the background that nobody actually picks up on until somebody starts using it. And then you realize that you've got a real issue. And that issue can really cause you problems when it comes to the resale market. Because if you can't stop them from messing the water when you become famous, or when you're now demanding a really impressive price for your work, and suddenly there's t-shirts and things around of work you either A, don't want out there because it's early works that you really are not so proud of, or it could be contentious things that they're now sharing, you open yourself up for having them try and sell you back the right to shut up, to keep away. It's, you know, a form of legal blackmail is potentially there. At the very least, you can have reputable gallery representation or the auction market decide they don't want a piece of this is too messy. So my rave is really about the small print, folks. Read the small print. As boring as it is, just glance through and ask yourself a simple question. Will this hurt me? Why are they doing this? What are they getting out of it? Now, this particular gallery is offering a 20% commission, plus the artist has to package, ship, distribute, do all the work, and that's the way a lot of them work. You know, they don't hold anything, that just goes straight from you. So none of their practices are really that different. 20% is quite appealing as a commission if they're getting you a market. But I don't think 20% is anywhere near enough if they're getting lifetime royalty on your work. 20% is definitely not enough if they can use you anywhere in the world or trade you, turn you into NFTs. They can do whatever they want with your work once you've placed it on their website. And just on that one, I want to stress, I don't see anything there that said they get rights to works that you don't submit to them. It's anything you put through their platform. Yeah, it's a bit scary, really, isn't it? I have heard horror stories about galleries not paying artists or misrepresenting artists or saying things that were untrue about artists. But generally speaking, they can only talk to a couple of people at a time. This is actually global. You know, they can get at you once you move country, move away. Your work's still there in their grasp. Doesn't take much for them to have a program that runs once a month to keep track of what you're up to. The other thing that they have in their contract that I found a little bit worrying was the fact that you're not allowed to sell the same works that you've listed with them cheaper at all, ever. My reading, which means that you close down your affiliation with the site, but because you've placed it on there, if you choose to sell it somewhere else, they still will hit you for the lost commission that they could have made if you'd stuck with them and sold it. So not only do they have the rights to then reproduce your work, which they've said they haven't taken your copyright, but actually what they've done is they've taken a licensing right, as I understand it, but they've actually also, you know, they run the ability there to gouge you for monies that they've lost. It would be a very interesting lawsuit that you would see. But we had an instance not so long back, just a year and a bit ago, 2 years ago in New Zealand, where an artist who had been working as an artist for a good number of years while married. As part of the divorce settlement, the judge decided to hand over the intellectual property rights of half of that artist's work to their husband as part of the settlement. He got half of her work and the right to do whatever he wanted with it. So it was seen as being matrimonial property. It was something that was actually developed and evolved while they were together. So to think that the judge or the court would never stand beside this practice, I think it's a mistake to go there now. What we've learnt is that the law is kind of stupid. It has a tendency to just follow the rule. If the words say this, they don't always look at the context. And again, because this website is it is actually a listed business, it's not just a website, and it has legal standing in this country, that gives it some extra bite. It gives it something to stand back on. You've got a contract with a legal entity, not just a handshake. So I was trying not to go negative, and I've ended up having a bit of a rave. But I really want you to take away this idea. Do your research. Check out, are they up to date? Are they meeting all the requirements that you would want from this platform outright? And then dig deeper. What are they wanting in exchange for that? Small commission, because they don't actually have to do much apart from maintain a website. Well, that's actually logical, and I don't have a problem with that. But if they're working for free or for very, very little, they're getting paid somewhere by someone for something, so check a bit deeper. Make sure you can find out who you've got your beef with if there's a problem. And who's going to clear up any problems if they misrepresent things? I don't know, let's say they put the wrong price up there. Who's responsible? All those types of things. So that's why it's worth reading through what their conditions. Now, in this particular website, there were a number of other things that made me really uncomfortable. There's stuff there that I don't think is illegal, but is questionable, because that's not what a gallery generally does. It rings truly wrong for me. So double check everything. Make sure you know who they are, where they are, and what legal obligations that jurisdiction has. So New Zealand law is very much like American law and UK law. Australian, most westernised countries have very similar rules when it comes to looking at things like copyright and how it works. But there's quirks with each. And then the final part that's worth looking at is when you go to the socials, you can actually go into the background of the social. So I found that the, it was on Instagram, they had a link tree, and that gave me access to one of the director's Facebook pages where I could see the lifestyle and who they really were. Which I thought was a bit foolish on a business one to put that in there, but they had it there. I also went into the who owns the site section and who's in charge of the site in the background of Facebook. And in there, I found that there were actually 4 people who were managing the site in New Zealand, but there were another 3 managing it in Indonesia. I thought that was interesting, not because there was anything wrong with people in Indonesia managing a Facebook site for a New Zealander. I look at time zones and go, well, it makes good sense if you've got contacts outside, if you're wanting quick answers to questions, that you would have, another place checking up on things. So that didn't seem a problem. It was more in other cases you might find that there is all sorts of stuff back there. So it's always worth having a look before you actually sign anything or send anything, because often the simple act of engagement is seen as a confirmation of those things. As soon as you send that first picture, even though you didn't sign anything, you've now entered into a relationship, a legal relationship in often cases. So, go and have a look in the background of those sites, and it's quite surprising what you can find. So, that's my little rave on online. I don't want you not to use online galleries. I'd much rather you used brick and mortar, because that's my world and I like touching and seeing things when I go shopping. But a lot of people now will use them and will buy from them, so they're valid. But just check out your backgrounds. Make sure you're safe. Thank you for listening to that. Happy creating, everyone. I hope your world is full of love and laughter. Catch you soon. Bye.